Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Ganesh. And dear listeners, Sairam from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet. And what's the happening thing in Prashantinilam? Well, one of the most beautiful things that happened in the week gone by, in this month of January 2015, is the moving 14th anniversary celebrations of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Whitefield in Bangalore. It was more than an hour-long presentation and an occasion that converted every heart into a sponge. Because what is happening in this hospital is something that has to be experienced to believe. Something that one has to go through to feel, to know. Something that one has to live. To experience that love. I remember we did a program sometime back on the story of a patient from Pakistan who was treated in this hospital. And the Republic Day of India is close by, January 26th. It's India's Republic Day. And I would like to think that India can have a great neighborhood if we follow on the footsteps of the path that this story of the patient from Pakistan taught us. I would invite you, dear listeners, to go to radiosai.org and read that story, Back to Pakistan with Love. 7-year-old Sahil had come all the way from Pakistan, traveling for 6 continuous days, changing buses and trains, to find a cure for his heart ailment. His uncle had brought him. His father worked as a gardener. I remember speaking to Mubarak, his uncle, when I asked him, "Mr. Mubarak, now that Sahil is healed and you are returning to your country, what are you taking with you to Pakistan from here?" And Mubarak had replied, "I am taking our child back home healthy. What can be happier than this?" And then he continued, "Let me tell you, this is an exceptional monument of healing. This is a refuge for the poor. Once we go back, I will share my joy with everyone there, so that they too become aware of such monuments created by Baba. I am deeply indebted to everyone here. And to God." In February 2008, in Heart to Heart, our journal, which was then a monthly e-journal, we had published the personal account of a patient. She called herself Sweta, a college-going girl. She wanted to be anonymous, but wanted to share her story. She was then in the final year of her bachelor's degree, being a student of literature. She actually penned down her experience very eloquently, very beautifully. And I want you to hear this. We will begin this episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside with that story. And then move on to many heart-touching stories and inspiring and moving reflections about this palace of peace. Palace of Healing with Love, Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Whitefield. So this is what I have in store for you. Reflections about this magnificent mansion of holistic healing. So that is what is coming up in this last leg of Thursday Live. You're tuned to Thursday Live straight from the heart of Prashantinilam, the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside, and I am Team Jody Sai's Vishu. The time in the studio now is 8:42, and as I just said, we discuss today about this palace of peace, where the spirit shines and love heals. The Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Whitefield, Bangalore. And as I just said, we begin with the story of a patient who called herself Sweta. She wrote this story sometime in early 2008, and I had intended originally to read the story out to you in this program, but just in the evening, our Radio Sai volunteer from Bangalore, Mrs. Lalita Shekhar, dropped in, and as I was narrating to her this story, because that was there top of my mind, she was very touched, and so I took this opportunity and asked her if she would like to read it out, and she very kindly agreed. So here, by Bhagwan's grace, we have Mrs. Lalita Shekhar, who is going to read out this story that we published in February 2008. Thank you so much for coming, Mrs. Lalita, and over to you.
Thank you, Vishu. The story of Shweta's life is not just inspiring. It's an eye-opener to many of us, including me. Let me read it out to our listeners in her own words. I shall call myself Shweta, but this is not my real name. I ask for your understanding in my desire to remain anonymous. It may come as a surprise to you that this story is written in the first person. Well, that is so because I wrote it myself. In fact, I requested Heart to Heart to have it as it is, with some editing if needed, but without changing the essence. I want the world to know what I have received, the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. I don't know where to begin, with thanksgiving and gratitude, which is my present state of mind, or from when I was diagnosed with a heart ailment. Let's keep things straight. I will do what the King of Hearts said in Lewis Carroll's Through the Looking Glass. Start at the beginning, go on till you come to the end, and then stop. It all began 6 years ago. I was still in high school, in grade 10, when I began to falling ill very often. Persistent coughs, colds, and breathlessness put a full stop to my sports and extracurricular activities. I was forced to be a spectator at events where I had excelled earlier. It was disappointing. And since the problems were long-standing, my family decided to take me to a specialist. My family and I approached a local specialist who immediately suspected a cardiac disease and prescribed a series of tests. We got them done, and the clincher was the echo test, which showed that I had a valve problem. It was the mitral valve. I was advised immediate surgery and was told to get admitted. My parents suggested that we go home, think it over and return. The doctor felt it is his bounden duty to drive the final nail into the coffin. He pegged the cost of surgery at 3 lakh rupees, which is about $8,000. And that was just the beginning. I was also told that I was to take medication for the rest of my life. Imagine my condition. I'm the only daughter of my parents, studying, dependent on them for everything. And suddenly, this shocking news and the exorbitant price tag. I just could not take it. I was so disturbed that I broke down in the clinic. My parents too were shaken, but they held a stiff upper lip. We came back home, and I asked to be left alone. I sat in silence and brooded over my situation. My parents had done everything for me, given me a good education, treated me as a friend when I grew into my teens. And here I was, hanging like a millstone round their neck, instead of being a help to them. On my study table, I have a figurine of Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning. I began to pour out my feelings to her. After all, prayer is talking to God, and I was literally doing so. As a student of literature, I had a good collection of books and was enamored by Khalil Gibran. I reached out and opened the Prophet, and the words sprang out at me. When love beckons to you, follow him, though his ways are hard and steep. And when his wings enfold you, yield to him, though the sword hidden among his pinions may wound you. And when he speaks to you, believe him, though his voice may shatter your dreams, as the north wind lays waste the garden. For even as love crowns you, so shall he crucify you. Even as he is for your growth, so is he for your pruning. I looked up at Mother Saraswati, and my eyes brimmed with tears. The often repeated words of my grandparents came to me. Everything that happens, happens for the good. God does not give us suffering that we cannot endure. I lowered my eyes to the page and continued to read. Even as he ascends to your height and caresses your tenderest branches that quiver in the sun, so shall he descend to your roots and shake them in their clinging to the earth. Like the sheaves of corn, he gathers you unto himself. He treasures you to make you naked. He sifts you to free you from your husks. He grinds you to whiteness. He kneads you until you are plain. And then he assigns you to his sacred fire, that you may become sacred bread for God's sacred feast. After reading this, I was even more at odds with God. Why me? What had I done to deserve this? And all the other questions that tear at one's being at such a stark moment rose up in me. It is said that books are one's best friends. I turned back to my bookshelf and my eyes landed on the Diary of Anne Frank. I did not reach out to take it or read it. I had gone through it at least 10 times. A voice in me said, "This is not the end. You're still alive." Annie knew she was going to die, but she did not lose faith in humanity. And here you are, losing faith in yourself. I dried my tears. I will not lie that my mood was suddenly uplifted and I felt the warm glow of sunshine on my shoulders. It sounds so good in poetry and prose, but real life was way too different. I had to face the facts. 3 lakh rupees of my parents' hard-earned money, and then an uncertain future. After all, I was young, and as any young heart would rebel, I felt I was too young to die. I surfed the net and got to know more about the mitral wall disease. My father met some of his friends who suggested a second opinion. This time, the doctor was not so brutally frank. He suggested that we medically manage the condition and leave surgery as a last resort. He did not raise any false hopes that the condition would rectify itself. He was just postponing the inevitable to reduce the impact on my growing body. I accepted my condition and arranged my life around it. I started my medication, and over time, it came to include the painful injection of Penidior. My literary-oriented mind broke the name into Pain Endure. I didn't mean to be philosophical, but there was not much else to distract or console myself with. Periodically, we could go to the diagnostic center, only to be told that the disease was progressing. My parents were saving up for my operation, without upsetting the apple cart. They had great plans for me, and not once did they allow me to feel I was different. By now, I was sufficiently knowledgeable about my condition and did not demur. We prepared for the process of admission and then surgery. The money was not yet available and my family decided to take a loan to foot the medical expenses. In the midst of such uncertainty, when all seems lost, there remains hope. It is hope which keeps us all alive. I was still hoping that there could be some way to dent the impact of this situation on our lives. God allows us to struggle till we give up, and then He takes over. One evening, my father returned home excited, and without talking to us, headed for the prayer room. He prostrated to the Lord, and then, after a few silent moments, told us, "We are going to Bangalore." Before we could react, he continued, "My friend and I were at the hospital today, asking about the valve surgery packages, when a stranger accosted us." He is no longer a stranger. He smiled. Incidentally, I was seeing a genuine smile on my father's face after a long time that day. He continued, "He overheard our conversation and came to us. He told us about this hospital in Bangalore, Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, a hospital that offers medical care in cardiac and neurosciences totally free of charge. We are going there, and the rest is up to God." Needless to say, we came to Bangalore, and I got my preliminary checkup done. The results were the same, and we were told to come back after receiving the intimation from the hospital for a surgery date. I'm cutting a long story short here. I got the call letter and came over to the hospital. My surgery was uneventful, and here I am, writing this piece, seated on the bed in the post-operative ward of Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences in Whitefield, near the city of Bangalore, India. It is true that the disease changed my outlook towards life. It is also true that the cure changed me for the better. I'm not referring to the cure of the physical ailment alone. I'm referring to a deeper cure that the Satyasai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences experience confers. I do not know for certain what subliminal power the hospital exudes, but to me, it was the temple from which God answered my prayers. I was awestruck by the grandeur of the hall and the dome, the resplendent, reassuring presence of Lord Ganesha in the central hall, the wide lawns outside the window, the expansive balconies, long corridors, vastness everywhere. The architecture lends itself the opening of the spiritual heart, allowing the soul to seek and soar higher. Here, my mind was at rest and my heart at peace. In fact, I actually felt happy that I was in this hospital. There was no fear of the unknown. The doctors and the nurses were frank, but so gentle. I was always told that the truth is bitter, but here I found that it is possible to speak the truth without hurting. It was during my stay at Sri Satyasai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences that I have found the true meaning of service, loving and selfless service. I can go on about what I feel now and how I was before, but as my benefactor, Bhagwan Sri Satyasai Baba says, "Past is past, forget the past. Future is uncertain. Live in the present. It is the gift of God." That is why it is referred to as a present. Bhagwan Baba further says, "Our present is not an ordinary one, but it is omnipresent, for in it lies dormant the future of each of us." Today, I believe in the power of now. I'm currently in the final year of my bachelor's degree and have no doubt that I'm going to achieve whatever I will. Each of us has a purpose in life, and it is for us to find it. To paraphrase Mario Puzo in his famous novel Godfather, Every man has but one destiny, and some spend a lifetime in search of it. I drew one meaning from this aphorism. Live life by the moment, for the present, for it is precious. I realize the value of now. One must live life as though there is no tomorrow. Do all the good you can every moment, for the next instant, life may be a past. Words are insufficient to express what I feel. But were I to succeed in conveying my idea of the value of time, the power of now, and the gift of life even to a few, I will consider myself lucky. To all those lucky, normal people out there, congratulations. You have the greatest gift, life.
So that was the story of the girl who called herself Shweta. Thank you so much, Mrs. Lalitha, for reading this out as if it was your own story.
Thank you, Vishu, for giving me this opportunity. Sairam.
Sairam. So, dear listeners, she ended her story saying that she has received the greatest gift. And what is it? The gift of life. A life when love beckoned her and blessed her and bestowed on her a new understanding, a new discovery that changed her forever. And that is what happens when pure love touches you. And I can tell you from my own experience, you will find many such anecdotes, life-changing moments. If you just tap any person who steps into the portals of Baba's hospitals, if you happen to work in such an environment, it is but natural for you that you will put your palms together in prayer and bow down in gratitude, because you will only be overwhelmed with what this mansion of love does when it touches. You can only be grateful to the one who built this for us with so much love. So this is what the staff of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences did on the day of their anniversary in the presence of Bhagwan in Sai Kurmant Hall on January 19th, 2015. They wanted to offer their gratitude. They wanted to tell Swami how beholden they are for this opportunity he has given them to play those little roles in this beautiful mission of transforming, liberating love. So I'm now going to play for you one or two snippets of this presentation, and then we'll also move on to some very interesting interviews that I have done with doctors associated with this hospital in the present and in the past. The first annual alumni meet of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, Prashant Nilayam and Whitefield was organized in Prashant Nilayam on December 20th and 21st, 2014. It was called the Sai Vaidya Sangamam. And I had the opportunity to talk to some of these doctors who have studied in this hospital and got their DNB degrees. DNB is basically Diplomate of National Board, DNB. This is the title awarded by the National Board of Examinations, which is an autonomous academic body under the Ministry of Health and Family Welfare, Government of India. So, National Board of Examinations confers this degree to candidates who successfully complete their postgraduate or postdoctoral medical education under it. And many students, after their graduation in medicine, sometimes after their post-graduation, they come for this degree, DNB degree, to Bhagwan's hospitals Because this is not just a treating hospital, it's also an academic institution, and that is perhaps one of the reasons why Swami had named it Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences. So many doctors shared their experiences, their stories on the anniversary day. And Dr. Praya Kini was one of them who started off this presentation. Dr. Kini is from Mumbai. He did his cardiology DNB resident program from 2009 till 2012. Then he continued in the hospital and did his fellowship in interventional cardiology in 2012-2013. And currently he is the junior consultant in the Department of Cardiology. By the way, he was the best outgoing student at MBBS during his degree of medicine. In the year 2000 from KJ Somaiah Medical College, he stood third in the University of Mumbai during his final exams, his graduation in medicine MBBS in 2000. In April 2013, he was awarded the best CD presentation award in the National Interventional Council conducted by the Cardiological Society of India. He also traveled to Mount Sinai School of Medicine for an advanced cardiac catheterization exchange program. To put it in short, he's a very accomplished doctor, and Bhagwan is so graceful to bring such beautiful souls to his hospital. So let's listen to what Dr. Praya Kini said on the anniversary day, January 19, 2015.
My dear Swami, tomorrow your youngest daughter from Whitefield celebrates her 14th birthday. 14 years of hope and happiness to a million lives. 14 years of a million smiles across the world, irrespective of caste, creed or nationality. 14 years of divine grace and infinite mercy, Swami, which we experience as staff of the hospital at each living moment. 14 years of bringing us together, this sea of white and pink together, and helping us stick together through thick and thin, guiding and caring for us at each living moment. But more than anything, Swami, as I stand here today, for us doctors from the hospital, and I speak on behalf of all the doctors here, we realize that it takes much more effort than just a medical team to put a patient back onto his feet. That is a Herculean task. And it takes the yeoman sincere efforts of each one of the staff sitting here, Swami, today. Your nursing staff, your administrative staff, your sevadals, your canteen staff, your lab staff, your ward boys, people standing at the gate, your watchmen, each one of them. Forgive me if I have skipped out any of them, but it takes each and every one of them, Swami, to combine with our medical efforts to put that patient back onto his feet. These efforts go unthanked for, unseen by the patient who sees only the doctors coming to the fore. As I stand here, Swami, today, I thank you on behalf of all the doctors for giving me such a wonderful team, such a wonderful Sai family to envision and achieve your goals of care and cure. In as much as I say this, my Sai family, in as much as I say this, all this comes with a price. You must realize that you are not here just by chance. You are not all here brought just by chance. It's not luck by chance. We have to understand that at each living moment of our life, that we are not working in a temple of healing because it gives us a means of livelihood to earn our daily bread. We have to be grateful that the Master himself chose for us this path of salvation. And bringing together all of us here at the hospital is simply Swami's way of teaching us that the practice of medicine, my friends, is not a practice of disease. It is not about IV injections or pills or CRT, pacemaker, minimally invasive VATs, this and that. No. It is simply about how much we love a patient, how much we care for him, how much pain we feel when we take that second jab of a needle when the first didn't go well. How much pain it feels here, how much pain it feels here. How much we really stand up and say and stand here and say, Swami, I follow what you say, when we say that sacrifice is the hallmark of a profession. How much of us really practice that? How much of us really believe that medicine is not built on a business contract? It is built on a covenant of faith between us, the giver, and the given sitting there. How much when we say that we treat patients from across the country without any particular language barrier, why do we not forget that disease and medicine knows no language? Love, acts of love, over 14 years need not speak any language. When we were discussing with each other what we are going to talk to you about today, is it just about the dome area and the edifice? Is it about the world-class surgeries that happen at the hospital? Is it about the world-class infrastructure that our master provided to us? We decided that we are going to talk about something which was much more about someone who was much more closer to you, Swami. We are going to open up the Sathya Sai treasure chest today, the asset of the hospital. We are going to talk about the patients of the hospital. We are going to be talking about, me and a few speakers after me, we'll be talking about what in real life, flesh and blood terms, faith and surrender have taught us. It is not going to be about what the hospital has done to the patient. It's also going to be about what the patient has done to the doctors of the hospital. And that in real sense is transformation. When a patient comes from the end of Bengal, or from the other end of Himachal, or from the end of Gujarat, he does not come here having seen the edifice of the hospital. He does not come here having heard about the world-class surgeries in the hospital. He doesn't come here about the world-class infrastructure in the hospital. He comes there simply because Swami is there. And when we work in that hospital, my friends and my Sai family, let us not forget that faith entrusted is not in us, it's in Him. And we are the instruments, and we have to live up to that at each living moment of our professional lives. As I talk about the stories of faith and surrender, I'll close my opening statement with a small anecdote that taught me so much and left an indelible imprint in my life. This is about a storm-ravaged couple from Orissa, 2006. I take you back 8 years in time. There was a fire then. Half of coastal Orissa was knocked out. And this was about a couple, 27-year-old, then. 3 years down the line, 2009, when they visit, I was in my first year of cardiology. They visit the hospital with a child who had tetralogy of Fallot. She was a blue baby, and she needed surgery. And in quest of that surgery, they had sold every single pie they had. Trust me when I say this, and Swami, you know this much better than I do, they just came with the 2 pieces of cloth that they were wearing. I came from Bombay, and shocked to the core, I had never seen something like this happen back home. I just happened to ask the couple, okay, the surgery is done for free. Surgery free mein ho jayega, aage kya? Kya khaoge? Kaha rahoge? Kaha jaoge? Where will they go after the surgery? The lady of the house, without batting an eyelid, just spoke one sentence. It hit like a thunderbolt. Jana kaha hai, sir? Maa ke ghar aaye, maa sambhal legi, aage ka dekh lenge. This is not out of a Hindi feature film. This is real life. And it brought tears to my eyes, just as it has to yours.
So that was Dr. Praya Kini. If you do not follow Hindi, what that patient said is, I have come to the home of my mother, and my mother will take care. Why do I have to worry? This is what the patient from Orissa told Dr. Praya Kini. When he asked him, okay, we will operate you here, but how are you going to manage after that? Who's going to pay for your medicines? How are you going to go back? Because they had sold everything to just come to the hospital. And these are the kinds of souls that step into this hospital. And as you mentioned in the presentation, it was an occasion to talk about the most important person in the hospital, the patient, and that is what the presentation did that day. You can watch the video of this entire anniversary celebration of the hospital on Radio Sai website. We had patients who had come to tell their story in their own words. There was a young girl who said how she was not only cured from her physical ailment, how she also got over her suicidal tendencies, thanks to the counseling department of the hospital. There was another lady, Pushpavati, who shared in Kannada how when he was abandoned by her husband, by her husband's family, after her husband passed away, she was left nowhere to go. She had a little son, and now this massive heart ailment. In fact, she was in the hospital for 1.5 years in a private hospital, and they were not able to cure her condition. No other hospital wanted to take up her case because it was very complicated. And that is when the doctors in Baba's hospital asked the director, Dr. Swarna Bharadwaj, should we take up this case? And Dr. Swarna Bharadwaj says, I don't know what came over me at that moment of time. I just felt Swami telling me that if we don't do, who will do? And so I said yes. And so Miss Pushpavati, after being in the hospital for 1.5 years, finally she was up on her feet. And if you see the video, you will see how she did not want to stop. She wanted to go on and express her love and gratitude to Bhagavan and to everyone in the hospital for having resurrected her life. And so on the presentation went. There were many other doctors who spoke, and one of them was Dr. Zarina Abdulaziz. Dr. Zarina joined Bhagwan's hospital as a junior consultant in 2012 in the Department of Radiology. She is a neuroimaging and interventional radiologist with 5 years of experience in advanced neuroimaging and neurointervention. She has got 9 years of experience in general radiology. She's won gold medal in her Doctor of Medicine degree in neuroradiology in 2012-2013 batch at NIMHANS, which is the National Institute of Mental Health and Neurosciences in Bangalore. She was also the Golden Jubilee Best Outgoing Student in NIMHANS in 2012-2013. She stood third in MBBS, her Bachelor's in Medicine, in 1998 in Mumbai in Grant Medical College. She was also the best speaker at ISNR. ISNR is the International Society for Neurofeedback and Research. 2014, when the seminar was held, she was the best speaker. ISNR is a non-profit member organization for professionals pursuing research and the promotion of self-regulation of brain activity for healthier functioning. So she is someone who's had, again, a very distinguished career, and now she is in Baba's hospital. And that day she shared how it has been for her after she became a part of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences. So here is Dr. Zarina Abdulaziz.
My humble salutations to Sri Sathya Sai Baba. Good evening, one and all. I'm very thankful to all my teachers who have given me the skill and brought me to this stage where I could come and share my experiences with you all. I'm very thankful to Sri Sathya Sai Babaji to give me an opportunity to come and serve in this hospital. Going back a couple of years back in my life, I was just a very studious, passed out student from NIMHANS, not knowing what's in store for future. I was not sure what is there for me in life, where am I going to, what am I heading to. But I was knowing that with this skill set, I should be able to help the needy. Opportunity struck, and I was called upon to join Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences 2 years back, way back in September 2012. The real meaning of my life and my journey as a doctor began when I stepped into the Sathya Sai campus. I felt like Baba himself holding my hand and taking me inside the campus into the institute and entrusting me with the responsibility of curing and caring for the people in need. It did not take much time to feel an integral part of the ever-increasing vast Sai family. I was overwhelmed and touched by the ideology of the institution, the passion of the people to serve selflessly, day and night. As Swami says, hands that help are holier than the lips that pray. I was amazed at the world-class infrastructure the hospital had to offer. My department of radiology itself was the best example. The armamentarium inside the department of radiology was like a palace. It had the best in class MRI machine, CT scanner, the high-end ultrasound and X-ray machines, and above all, a biplane neuroangio cath lab. It's like a dream for any neurointerventionist in the country. Radiology department is the backbone of any institution. It provides the evidence for a doctor to treat, and these evidences are interpreted by us, and so we fill in the missing links in the patient's story and give the correct diagnosis to the treating physician. More than that, there is another dimension of the radiology department. We also cure the patients through minimally invasive procedures. And I'm very grateful to my HOD, Dr. Sanjay Vishwamitra, who entrusted me the responsibility of setting up a neuroendovascular unit in our institution. We are also excelling in academics and research. We have represented our hospital in many national and international conferences. I myself was very fortunate, thanks to Baba, I could represent the hospital in one of the international conferences at North America. My experience there has been heart-touching. I have great memories from there. First of all, the love and affection showered on us by the global Sai family there. And we were welcomed as the personal sevaks of Sai Baba. And we were taken care as their family members. I also happened to do a short observership in one of the topmost hospitals in Chicago. And I can proudly and confidently say that the patient care and the standard of infrastructure what we have at Sathya Sai Institute is at par with any big hospitals in the world. This is a place for worship, a place where sufferings are turned into happiness, into healing, a place where there is no discrimination between rich or poor, Hindu or Muslim, young or old, male or female. All have equal opportunity to health care as any other person in the world. Every day I get up in the morning with one motto in my mind, to bring smiles on the faces of patients and their caregivers. I go back home and rest, close my eyes, and I am rest assured that I have done the best for them, and rest is taken care by Him. There are many experiences which I had in this hospital, and I would like to share just one of them. This was a 40-year-old male. He had come all the way from Orissa. He was an auto driver, the sole breadwinner of the family. He had a small family, a wife and two children. He earned daily wages from auto driving, and that's how his family was living. 2 years back, he started having severe back pain. He was unable to do his work. Slowly, he could just drive maybe for a few hours in a day, and so his earnings had come down. His children had to stop going to school, and they had to restrict on many of their expenses. 6 years back the lane, he got completely bedridden. You can imagine the plight of the family. They could not even afford an X-ray or MRI outside. All they could do is sell off their things and come all the way to our hospital. We performed few diagnostic tests and came to know that he just had a compression fracture of a vertebral body which could be easily treated. What we did was a small procedure. We just injected cement into the collapsed vertebral body. It is just a half an hour procedure. This is called as vertebroplasty. The very next day, he got up. He could sit, and in a week's time, he could start walking, and his normal life came back. This is just one small example. We are This is not to praise ourselves or the service what we are doing. It is just a small example how patients' lives are transformed by simple procedures which we can offer. All these experiences has brought a great change in me. I am a totally changed person now. I am more happier and more content. That my faith in humanity is reaffirmed. The last 2 years have built a strong foundation in my career, which I will be taking forward. Being here as part of this vast Sai family, it re-emphasizes again and again, if we care for the people in need, He will cure the illness and suffering. I take this opportunity to thank the Sai Trust for giving their complete support and constant support to our hospital, Director Madam Sri Swarna Bharadwaj, for her loving guidance, my HOD, my dear staff, the ever hard-working and dedicated staff of the entire hospital. We all have worked together as a team and will bring wonders. Keeping my head high and promise of keeping His mission ongoing, I end my speech here. Thank you one and all for your kind hands.
So that was Dr. Jarina Abdulaziz, keeping my head high and keeping His mission ongoing. Isn't it so heartening listening to the doctors of Bhagwan's hospital? It is because of this commitment to His mission. It is because of this love that He made us radiate, that these hospitals today are temples of healing. And just as so many patients have come and have had their lives transformed, so many doctors too have come and have had their lives transformed. And you heard Dr. Zarina share her experience. On December 20th, 21st, 2014, the hospitals, both in Prashantanam and Bangalore, organized the first alumni meet of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences. They called it the Sai Vaidya Sangamam. So they had all the postgraduate students, all the DNB students who had done their program, academic program in Baba's hospitals, to assemble for a heartwarming get-together. And when I got to know of this, I thought we should not miss this opportunity to speak to some of these doctors who have worked in this hospital, who have studied in this hospital, and then moved on and are now working in various hospitals elsewhere. How do they reflect on what they have learned here? And that is how I had the chance to speak to a few doctors. So I'll play for you the first interview that I did with Dr. Keshav Murthy. He did his DNB in the year 2002. For 3 years, 2002 to 2005. In fact, he won a gold medal. So here, currently he works for Narayan Hrudayalaya. He actually heads the Division of Interventional Cardiology in Narayan Hrudayalaya in Bangalore. So here is Dr. Keshav Murthy and the conversation that I had with him on the sidelines of the first alumni meet of students who have done their post-graduation in Baba's hospital. So, Dr. Keshav Murthy.
Saram, Dr. Keshav. And
Saram.
It's a very heartening feeling that you are here as part of this conference where the alumni of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences have gathered for this first-off event where the former students of Bhagwan's hospitals are here for a get-together. So, how was it for you to come back to Baba's hospital, and how was the proceedings from morning till now? What feelings envelop your mind as you stand here in this institution from where this whole mission of healthcare started?
First, let me tell my brief introduction. I am the first DNB cardiology candidate of Satya Sai Whitefield. I passed out in 2005 December and Bhagawan blessed me with a gold medal.
Wow.
So right now I am working as the chief interventional cardiologist at Narayana Hrudayalaya Mysore, Karnataka. First of all, I should thank Bhagawan immensely for giving this opportunity to come to this temple of healing again and to see this, get the feeling of this hospital again. I think this alumni is a great feeling, great experience for me to meet my all my old friends, my teachers, and more than that, it's the feeling the Bhagawan's immense presence. Even though Bhagawan physically is not there, but his spiritual presence is really felt. I'm really very much happy and very much elated to come here.
When you reflect your days spent in the hospital in Whitefield, what were you before you joined that hospital and what were you by the time you had to leave the portals of that hospital?
Okay. Let me tell me my own words as I'm talking in very telegraphic language. Before I joining that hospital, I was a very ordinary doctor working in a medical college as an assistant professor. I got the opportunity to get a DNB cardiology seat in Whitefield. And while joining, I never had any idea about Satya Sai Baba. I never had any attachment to the Baba. I never felt his presence, Bhagawan, till that time. Never had any experience at all. After entering the Bhagawan's institution, over a period of 3 years, a lot of transformation occurred. In fact, till the last year, I am not a believer of Bhagawan. I never felt that because we are very busy in the hospital. Being a first candidate, I was really struggling. A lot of difficulties in the family, financial, a lot of difficulties were there. At the end, after finishing my degree, I felt that, to tell you frankly, DNB cardiology is one of the difficult exams to pass at present in our Indian system. I can say that because passing percentage is 15% to 20%. In fact, a lot of people offered seat, they did not join because difficulty of passing. And being a first candidate, you should understand what is in my mind. I was so much tense. A lot of pressure was there and a lot of work pressure was there. With the Bhagawan's blessing, Bhagawan's grace, I could able to clear the exam without any difficulty. I passed it. And in fact, I never imagined that I will be given the gold medal. First gold medal in DNB College given to me. That is the one of pride, I can say. So I got the first gold medal which was given in the DNB College to me. That's all because of the Bhagawan's blessing. And with the gold medal, came to the Bhagawan's temple, that is in Puttaparthi. And Bhagawan saw the gold medal and blessed me. And that is the most memorable, cherished moment in my life. I still remember that blessings of Baba all throughout my life.
As a doctor, what was your approach to medicine? What was your approach to healing when you joined the hospital? And was there any change in the way you looked at your profession once you joined Swami's hospital?
Definitely. Before joining this hospital, any patient comes to the hospital, we used to plan what's the treatment according to his budget. Every hospital throughout India, any hospital throughout the world, any patient goes to any treatment, the treatment will be planned according to his budget, according to the strength of purchasing the medicines, strength affordability. That is the first thing we look at. But I never imagined there's a hospital, a Satya Sai hospital, where there is no money, there's no account department at all, there's no money transaction at all. There you are free to use the treatment according to your plan and according to the patient need without any thinking of his budget or his background, his color, caste, anything. So according to the patient need, we can treat them with a full liberty, with everything available in the hospital. Take it, any injections, any tablet, any antibiotic, any stuff in the cath lab, everything is available in the shelf, all the up-to-date equipments with all the learned people around. So this experience given at the end of the day, that human touch, whenever the patient leaving the hospital, I used to talk to the patient. The amount of joy, amount of emotional involvement with the patient is unimaginable. That you won't get any hospital. However bulky check, however salary you pay from outside, that feeling of satisfaction, the feeling of you've done a great job, you'll never get. There is a business. If they pay money, you've done the job. Here, Swami's work is different. Swami's work is a spiritual work. It's something to touch with the humanity. You understand, you are given responsibility, you've done the job. And when the patient walks out, they go with lot of satisfaction, lot of humbleness, lot of regard for you. That feeling you'll never get anywhere. That's what I learned going out of this hospital. Medicine is not just money and not just the treatment, not just the cure. It's something different. You have to heal them. You have to show them affection. You have to show them love. You have to show them the care, compassion. That's what is the humanity all about. That's what Swami has shown me, has taught me. That's what I'm practicing till now in the outside hospitals.
Oh, that's fantastic. The new approach to healing and whatever you imbibe here, you are able to take that and apply that wherever you are now. In that way, you are a tiny spark that has gone out of this hospital and it's spreading its light in its own way. What are the different things about this hospital that you think we can, to some extent, take it and apply it in this healthcare scenario outside?
One thing I want to say about this alumni meet itself. So, Baba has created a huge treasure of alumni which no one has explored. In fact, it has just started today. If we explore the alumni of Baba, it's a big treasure. It's a big treasure of wealth. I can say wealth, whatever the knowledge, everything is there. If you unearth the treasure is enough to sustain these hospitals for coming many decades. So money is not a dearth for this hospital run. We all are there, all the alumni, not only me. Every alumni of this institute have the same feeling, same attitude, same feeling about this institute. And this unearthing alumni is the starting of this today. It has to go systematically. Once you make use of this wealth of this alumni, and these institutes will flourish like anything. To tell you an example, if you want a teaching faculty, we are there to teach the students. As a doctor, we are there to come and do. We have some of our own limitations, our own commitments. We can't come for months together. Definitely, we are there for Swami, anything. Middle of the night, if somebody asks me some class to be taken, we'll come and do take the class for the students. Teach the student, guide them. We can run the hospital OPDs. We can run and do some cath lab work if, when required. One of the suggestions what I always give is, we need somebody in the top level administration to look into newer aspects of newer avenues in the medical field. For example, looking at the high-end trials. High-end trials means stage 3, stage 4 trials where the drug is already proved efficacy, where they want to know the clinical benefit, where rather than testing in a rich people, in a rich hospital, giving all the benefit to the patient, this is the hospital where highly meticulous, records are well maintained, all the documentation were very well done. Here the hospital where make use of these things for our patients. Our patients should get the best new drug, best new technology to our patient. And the company which is very big, billionaire companies, for them spending for this patient for a few thousand dollars is not at all difficult for them. I think we should look at this new avenue, how to make use of this Swami's platform, Swami's treasure, which will pass on to the patient in the next level. This is what we are looking at and want to see this. This Sai's hospitals are the icons in the medical field in the coming days.
Fantastic. Finally, now that this first alumni meet has happened, what is it that you will take back with you once you go back to Narayan Hrudayalaya, where you serve as head of the Department of Interventional Cardiology?
Only one thing, Swami's blessing. There's nothing more, nothing bigger, nothing richer, nothing costlier than Swami's blessing. I'm going back to my place with a Swami's blessing. Swami's blessing always should be there for a man, any field for that matter, especially my field, interventional cardiology, which is the most difficult, most complicated field. And his blessing should be there for me every moment. Apart from that, I am going back with a lot of happiness, satisfaction that I met my teachers, my friends, my well-wishers, and my friends, all the friends of the Sai students work with me. They've given me a lot of happiness. They've taken care of me very well, taking care of me very well in the last days when I stayed here. So these memories, I'm going with happy memories.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So that was Dr. Keshav Murthy. He's currently in Narayan Hrudayalaya, not Bangalore, in Mysore. I beg your pardon. And as you heard, this alumni meet, which was organized for the first time in December 2004, it has opened new doors. And all the alumni, as Dr. Keshav Murthy mentioned, they are all willing to come and serve in Bhagwan's hospital. They want to come and give their time to teach the students in Bhagwan's hospitals. They want to come and ensure that the outpatient departments, that the surgeries, everything goes on smoothly. As he said, that is the wealth that this hospital has created over the years. Bhagwan always used to say, the management students, men are more valuable than all the wealth of the world. And here Bhagwan has created such beautiful gentlemen, enlightened citizens from seemingly ordinary people. So that is what the hospital does. And this is just one experience. In fact, I had the chance to talk to many more doctors. And maybe I will play for you one more, because time is running out. And this is Dr. Vishwanathan. He had done his MBBS, his graduation in medicine from Madras Medical College. And later he did his post-graduation DNB in neurosurgery in Swami's hospital in 2004. For 4 years he was there doing his DNB in Baba's hospital, and currently he's in Miyot Hospital in Chennai. And this is what he had to share, his reflections about the alumni meet as well as working in Baba's hospital.
It is indeed a great honor both to have spent nearly 4.5 years in Whitefield and thereafter to be invited to attend this first ever alumni meet, as you put it. And I'm really hoping that it would not be certainly the last meet, because there is so much that we as alumni of this super speciality hospital have gained through our training period by watching our mentors, by working in a hospital where not even once during my entire stay I have to talk to a patient about whether he could afford the surgery or not, about being able to give the best of care available anywhere in the world to anyone who comes knocking. So it is indeed a great privilege to have come back connected with our contemporaries, our seniors, and the people who are the new faces who have just joined the institution. So my thoughts are that how can we sustain this medium? An alumni association has been proposed, and I have been given a role to play within that as well. And certainly we would try and keep the bond forever for whoever has any connection to the hospital, both in the past, present and future.
Wonderful. You said that there is so much that you have gained from spending those 4.5 years in the Whitefield Hospital. How was Dr. Vishwanathan before he joined the hospital, and how is Dr. Vishwanathan now?
Dr. Vishwanathan before he joined the hospital was an MBBS doctor who had trained in general surgery, who always wanted to train as a neurosurgeon, has been exposed to neurosurgery in corporate hospitals and trust hospitals in Chennai. My first ever experience of visiting the Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences in Whitefield was after I received a call from the human resources saying that your application has been accepted and you can come for an interview and an examination. So I took this auto all the way from Banergata Road and came into this region of Whitefield. All across I could see that this was the only auto. There were no big buildings around. And I was just wondering whether the auto driver was actually taking me to the right place. And then it was typical Bangalore weather, nice little drizzle. And then we came to the compound where the Sevadal phoned inside, checked whether he could allow me. And then I walked across the lawns into a big enclosure with a giant chandelier. And there was pin drop silence, not a single patient to be seen loitering around, no smell of a hospital. Great murals put up, paintings, granite walls, and looking up at the chandelier and the big Ganesha and Swami there, I suddenly was reminded, yes, here I am, so small, mortal, coming into such a big institution. I was fortunate enough to get through a really fair entrance process and had the opportunity to work. Compared to my earlier stint, and to my subsequent stint in the NHS in the UK, I would say that the Swami's hospital is the closest that can match a socialistic health system like in Europe, where the patients can come, expect to be treated irrespective of caste, color, creed, whether they had money in their pockets or not. Treatment was the best that they could get anywhere in the world. The doctors were dedicated, the nurses were dedicated. And to keep us all going, there were sevadals, whether they are menial laborers in their original life back home or owners of tea estates humbly sitting outside the operation theater working at the beck and call of any one of us to go and get blood, to go and do this, leave this sample and things like that. Really humbled us all who worked in this hospital. And now I've come back to India from the UK, working at Chennai in a corporate hospital. And this stint that I spent at Swami's hospital in Whitefield, I hope to continue in a little way, in my own little way, if possible, to try and help people as much as I can, to carry on, if possible, the work. I can by no means match the work that the hospital is doing, but what it has given me is a sense of actually taking care of those who are less fortunate, how to do it in the right way, and that's something that I will carry for the rest of my life.
Wonderful. I think when Bhagwan built these hospitals, just like all his institutions, he always called them as model institutions, from where ideas could be taken and in some ways replicated elsewhere. And you said you are very keen to do that, and you're doing it in your own way. But what are those few things that the hospital stands for, which you think are unique and which you think in some ways can be taken to the world outside and the world needs?
The first thing that comes to mind is that it doesn't look like a hospital. It looks like a temple and can ideally be called a temple of healing. The architecture of the hospital, the vast lawns, there is no constraint for space. There is a regulated inflow of traffic into the hospital in terms of people, attenders. The patient is taken care of in a nice, clean environment which reduces infection risk. There is no compromise with respect to technology available. It is not a charity hospital where you cut corners and deliver free care. This is a state-of-the-art hospital where treatment is given without expectation of monetary return. The last bit is the one that strikes one the most, because you always hear tales of people selling their land to afford a surgery. And even if the patient comes out alive after that, the family is on the road. So that is something that a patient coming into this hospital does not need to face. Whether this model can be replicated is something that the policymakers in India have to think about. For the health care system, there is in fact no system in India. Europe has examples like the NHS or its counterparts in the various other Scandinavian countries. India, unfortunately, does not have a system. It has got disjointed pieces which do not work together. And I think this hospital, these two hospitals, in fact, in Puttaparthi and Whitefield, things work in a systematic fashion. There is a waitlist process. There is equity. There is fairness with which each patient is treated. The patients are not stacked like in government hospitals. Two patients on the floor, one in the bed, you know, patients everywhere, dirt, dust, grime everywhere. Patients are brought in according to our capability to handle the volume and the load of patients. And outcomes match the best anywhere in the world. So these are some of the things which need a lot of thought, and if put in place in India, I do not think that healthcare or lack of healthcare access would be a problem.
So in some ways, even if you may not run a hospital which is completely free, but there are some aspects of this healthcare system you think which can be to some extent replicated in other hospitals, which would make the other hospital, whether it is a government hospital or whether it is a corporate hospital, deliver better care.
Absolutely. Simple things. When I was a trainee doctor in rotated through pediatrics in the Institute of Child Health in Egmore, I would find people wearing blue scarves down there, waiting in the outpatient department, guiding the patients in, taking them out. Little did I realize that they were Sevadals who were there from the local samitis, doing their little bit in order to regulate the process of the patient waiting process, which can be chaotic in government hospitals. If doctors and the nurses and the healthcare professionals in the Swami's hospital are doing a yeoman service to society, so are the Sevadals who come in and with all humility do their little bit again for the love of Swami. So if such volunteering processes can be taken forward, there is no lack of money, but there are people with enough money available who want to ensure that the money is put to good use. So there needs to be local involvement in various hospitals, be it government, be it private, where such systems can, in their own little way, improve the experience of coming into a hospital, which can otherwise be scary.
So there are many little lessons that can be replicated.
As they say, the devil is in the detail. Just by having the top shot doctor or the top shot equipment is not going to give best health or health care. It is taking care of all the pieces that encompass the patient journey into and out of the hospital that I think this hospital excels in, or the Sai Health System excels in.
Now that this first alumni meet was held, and you mentioned that you have now also given a role to ensure that this continues, how do you think this is going to help the hospital in the long run?
In the long run, I think once we students who come into the hospital get trained and disperse out elsewhere in the country, outside the country, and then we are lost in ether. Now there is a common forum, a medium where which we should be able to communicate, whether physically or otherwise, meet every year personally with our families, and as an ongoing process have a two-way communication with our parent departments to see which way we can contribute, find out which way that they would like us to contribute. And always collaboration is a two-way process. And if there is a process to mentor young trainees so that the future generation is twice as bright and twice as smart as we are. So the opportunities are enormous to utilize the services of the people who have left this institution, because not only speaking for myself, but for whoever else I know who has come out of this hospital, compared to how commercialized higher education in medicine is, I have not paid a single rupee as fees for training. So it is only my duty, as is the duty of everybody else who I know, to give back either in physical hard work back to the institution, or monetarily, or technologically, or in any which way we can. And finally, at least maintain a one-to-one contact with all our departments.
It would be a useful exchange.
Absolutely. Any communication, any one-to-one communication between people is the medium through which progress happens. And in that sense, we alumni are available always to help our parent hospital institution prosper and grow.
You are someone who has seen a lot of hospitals in India, as well as traveled abroad, Europe, and you've seen different healthcare systems and other medical institutions. Is there any awareness about this hospital in the medical fraternity? Do people really believe that such a system of medicine exists, which tries to, in many ways, keep service as the core of its philosophy?
If you want an honest answer, the awareness is pretty limited, because I suppose this is, as you said, a model institution, and unless somebody visits or experiences this model institution, going by how the world is, how healthcare is structured around in the world, nobody would even imagine that such a thing is possible. If I said this to somebody, if I explained how the Satya Sai Hospital works, they'd say, really? There's no cash register there. Really? How is it possible? This wouldn't run.
Has it really happened? Have you got the chance to mention it to anybody at any point in time?
Yes, at various points in time to my colleagues, both elsewhere in India or abroad. The first reaction is probably disbelief, exclamation, amazement. And then slowly they said, is it possible? And then I realized that the only way somebody sees something as unique as this is to be as fortunate as we have to actually be in the system, know that it works, because having now that Whitefield has exploded and become a separate city in its own right, I'm sure that many people even in Whitefield would not know the full beauty of such a hospital like the Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences. The doctors who are working there, doing work which only a handful of centers probably across the world would be doing in such volumes, they wouldn't even recognize their names. But really, I think we have been fortunate to have seen it, felt it, and if ever an opportunity comes, we could bring my mentors from abroad to come and visit this place, maybe take part in events, seminars, courses, conferences, and things like that.
So you feel there is perhaps a greater need to create more awareness about this philosophy of healthcare being practiced here?
Absolutely.
And conferences of this nature or conferences of more academic nature probably would be good occasions to bring people from different institutions
to come and see. There was a senior neurosurgeon who came as a National Board of Examination deputed inspector to come and see if Satya Sai Institute could continue to take in postgraduate students in neurosurgery. He was so amazed and exclaimed. He had visited a different hospital in the city for the same purpose and then subsequently came to Satya Sai Hospital. The previous hospital had sent in completely air-conditioned vehicle to receive him, take him through, and I had gone in a rickety old Omni from the hospital to bring him along. He is a senior consultant who I had worked with previously. He came into the hospital and said, "Why are you applying only for one student per year? If the other hospital that I visited is applying for two or three or whatever the number is, you can apply for double the number." That is what he said. So even when such senior opinion makers within the medical profession are amazed each time they come into the hospital, I'm sure that the lay public, anyone who is interested in healthcare, would need to visit this place, see that it is a ticking, working example, and then, and only then, will they actually realize what a great example this is.
And that is perhaps one of those ways by which this philosophy of healthcare can percolate to more cities and towns of India and abroad.
Absolutely, yes.
And which is perhaps more necessary in these times.
Yes, absolutely.
One last question, going back to your days in the hospital. What prompted you to first apply for DNB in Whitefield Hospital? You were not someone who knew Sai Baba or anything of that nature, right? You said you were surprised when you entered the hospital.
The only experience that I had of the Satya Sai organization was after my MBBS, one of my close friends, he and his family were devotees of Swami. And every Sunday when we were waiting for our postgraduate examinations and things like that, every Sunday we used to go to Sundaram in Chennai. There used to be a free medical camp where his father, who was a director in the Regional Labor Institute, would become morph into a pharmacist, or somebody else would morph into an OP ward boy and things like that. And we would all become general practitioners there, diagnosing patients, giving them free medicines and sending them home. Patients would come as far away as 200, 300 kilometers for this Sunday free clinic. That is my only experience, as it were. And that is something which prompted me to think that if I were to train in neurosurgery, a subject that I liked, it has to be in a hospital which is run by a trust or a concern where revenue or money is not going to be the primary motto for running that organization. Only then I would get training. Otherwise, I would be just a cog in the wheel. Not at the end of it would be just a number to the list of neurosurgeons coming out every year. And that is what prompted me to apply.
And you were not disappointed?
Absolutely not. And in fact, it is the time that I spent in the Whitefield Hospital is probably the best few years as a doctor in my medical career, without a doubt.
Wonderful, sir. And I think in time to come, we only hope that these best days of your life only multiply.
Thank you. And it is worth mentioning that I was exposed to such noble and great human beings like Dr. A.S. Hegde, who is not only my guru in neurosurgery, but just as a person, as a man, there's lots to learn from him. and a lot of teachers who sharpened the way that I thought about a patient, my clinical thinking, my technical skills, my preparation to come out as a confident neurosurgeon, my ability to set up and run minor projects like the telemedicine project, in which I played a small part. I could not have dreamt of in any other institution. It is due to such chosen great human beings that Swami had put in the right place that we all could be modeled, just like clay can be modeled into anything. It is without them, we would just be nobody.
Yes, and in many ways the Divine was shaping you, and perhaps He has this little roles for all of us to play, and which perhaps only time will tell. But I think as long as our hearts are open, there are plenty of opportunities and grace is always there. Thank you so much, sir.
Sai Ram. Sai Ram.
So that was Dr. Vishwanathan, who did his DNB in neurosurgery in the year 2004 till 2008, and currently he is in a corporate hospital, Muir Hospital in Chennai. Since the beginning of the Whitefield Hospital, 20,000 neurosurgeries have been done, 18,000 cardiac surgeries has been done, 45,000 cardiac catheterizations has been done. Well, numbers are impressive, but as you have been listening, every soul that has come into the arms of this hospital is a transformed soul, whether it is a patient, whether it is a sevadal, whether it is a doctor, whether it is a paramedical staff. And that is what love, when given without condition, does to us. And that is why this hospital is not a hospital, it is a palace come temple, as Prime Minister Atal Bihari Vajpayee said when he came for the inauguration of this hospital way back in 2001. He had said, in this hospital you will get dawa and dua, which means you will get medicine as well as God's grace. And when both are there, healing at every level happens, and it happens beautifully. So dear listeners, time is running out. It's almost 10 o'clock and I have to draw the curtains on this day-long Thursday Live. Thank you so much for being with us throughout the day. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and I express my gratitude to each one of you and request you to send your feedback. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. We offer our humble salutations at Bhagwan's Lotus Feet for having given us this opportunity of being a part of this work of sharing His love. Finally, from all of us at Radio Sai, a sweet goodbye and loving Sai Ram from Prashant and Liv. As a sign off, you will continue to listen to a drama by Bal Vikas Children from Haryana and Chandigarh. This was staged in front of Bhagwan on 1st July 2004. It is entitled Power of Devotion. So enjoy this. Sai Ram.